Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. In an about-face from last week's temporary injunction against the NCAA, Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby plans to apply for the NFL supplemental draft. A Texas court granted Sorsby eligibility after he admitted to betting on college sports, but Monday, the Big 12 filed a suit against Texas Tech to sanction him from playing this season. The last supplemental draft pick was safety Jalen Thompson in 2019. Baseball today, Reds host the Mets at 7:10. Coverage of the Fan 2 starts at 6:40, since he's 34-37 last in the NL Central. Guardians are at the Brewers at 7:40. Cleveland tied with Chicago atop the AL Central at 39-33. Tennis, Serena and Venus Williams earn invites to Wimbledon as a wild card doubles pairing. They've won 21 combined titles at the All England Club. This update is sponsored by RCDRV Supercenter in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala, or at rcdrv.com. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
And here we go. Welcome back into another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice in the house today for our guy AR. Is the one and only Bobby Carpenter. Bobby joins me today, and TLC is back on the board doing his thing per usual. Bobby, good to see you, my man. What's going on? How are we feeling?
It's great to see you, sir. You know, I've got a lot of stuff done today. Feeling good about life.
Yeah.
Happy to be in here with you. Who filled in with you yesterday?
We had Dylan Tyre in the building yesterday.
Okay. I'm sorry. I wanted to fill in yesterday. We had the coaches' golf outing over at Ohio State.
Nice.
Do a great job with that. The lieutenant governor was there. Awesome. Beautiful. To see him. He had, by the way, it was like, I'll have to show you a picture of this vest he had. I'm like, where can I get one of these vests? Like a black zip up, like some sort of like lycra material, you know,
okay.
Looking good. And he's got a patch on it. And the patch is like the seal of Ohio. And it says, like, lieutenant governor of the state of Ohio.
Boss.
Where do I get one of these?
He goes, boss move.
Because you got to be appointed. He goes, not even elected. He goes, they just picked me. Like, it's a pretty sweet code.
It's kind of like in Game of Thrones when you get knighted, right? Like,
yes.
It's an exclusive thing that happens to you. I was making a drive, Bobby, over to Kokomo, Indiana this weekend for a baseball tournament.
Oh, yeah. How did that go?
It didn't go very well. The boys are playing pretty well, but we got work to do, man. We got work to do, but I'm proud of them. The effort is there. But driving to Kokomo, Indiana, when you go from the Ohio State line to obviously Indiana, right there, you'll see
a giant pothole that you'll run into.
That too. But thank you for being in Ohio, blah, blah, blah. And then it gets to Lieutenant Governor Tress. And it's just always cool to see that and him in that role. But so, yeah, I think he's at a point now to where, Bobby, he's probably got an exclusive plug he can call to say, hey, maybe fire up a vest or two for me that we can't get that phone number. That feels appropriate that he should be the only guy to that type of access for that.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm going to enjoy seeing that. I'm going to take some more pictures. Anytime I leave the state, I feel like I've taken pictures of about half of those signs.
Uh-huh.
Because cool. It's just such a unique thing, a unique situation for that to happen. And we were talking yesterday. I think he's going to finish strong. Don't be fading out on me, coach. You know, he goes, makes sense. Dave. We're not even elected. We're not running. He goes, they're going to do that in November. He goes, and then we have to stay till January. He's like,
oh wow.
Yeah. He's like, until the next governor is sworn in. It's like the president, you're a lame duck. You're there. Listen, don't be just running the clock out. He goes, believe me, Governor DeWine, he will not let me run the clock out. I go, they fired Earl Bruce the week before he went and beat Michigan that final time. Mm-hmm. So why don't we channel a little bit of that? All right. Even though we're not on the ballot, we're not running. Let's go beat Michigan in 87. We'll put the JT headbands on and go out there and get it done.
Run through the tape, Tress. Run through the tape. TLC, you were out yesterday. What's been going on, man? Good to see you again. How you feeling?
It's all good to see you. Not a very fun day, but very productive.
Okay.
Scheduling appointments, going out, getting working out, getting outside a little bit. So it was a good use of a PTO.
Nice.
It was just a random PTO.
How was Adam King's performance at volleyball last night?
Adam King's performance at volleyball was adequate. It was solid. He did all right. Now, he's had some weeks where it was a little bit awkward in the workplace the very next day because I didn't want to see him.
Oh, because he's fumbling the bag out there?
Last night was not one of those nights.
Okay, so he made some plays is what you're saying.
He was all right, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, it's good to see you again. Folks, hope everybody's having a nice start. Excuse me, to their Tuesday menu for today, 1:30, Ryan Roberts, NFL Draft. college football analyst for A to Z Sports, will join us 2:30. Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN will hop on to talk everything going on in the world of sports, and definitely the Brendan Sorsby situation, which we will get into here in just a second. You miss anything from our show, don't worry, you can always catch up. Wherever you get your podcast, just type in Rothman and Ice, everything we do from noon to three. We'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Take us with you wherever you may go. So, Bobby, yesterday we found out that the Big 12, they filed a suit in federal court against Texas Tech and the Texas Attorney General. And that was kind of the first step.
We're suing the Texas Attorney General in that suit. Like, this is where we're at. Like, this is insane. It's Game of Thrones.
It was wild. Like, and when you start to get this deep in the weeds with this type of stuff as a sports fan, I can understand how it can be overwhelming when you're having to wrap your minds around labor law and contract law and all that. Like, it can be a lot, but this is a guy that obviously was highly coveted coming out of the transfer portal. Reports that Texas Tech spent a whole bunch of money on him, somewhere in the $5 to $6 million range. And then we find out about allegations that went to admissions about betting with Brendan Sorsby. And initially, Bobby, out of the gate, the first report was when he was at Indiana, he was a backup. He was doing some betting there, also doing some betting on some Cincinnati Reds games. And initially, I was kind of like, okay, obviously that's not good. That's not the worst thing. But then the story kept evolving, evolving, and evolving, and we found out the amount of bets, the amount of money that he was doing, and then he admitted.
Kept doing it.
Correct, and then he kept doing it, and then we find out that he is an addict. And so now here we are with him pulling ripcord, him bowing out, and him entering now the supplemental draft. And it does sound like that Texas Tech is not going to ask him for any of the money that he has already brought in.
So it's interesting. I don't know. And someone, Thidoff asked me this morning. He's like, do you think he got all $5 million? I'm like, I don't know how it's structured. I know that they've leaned in. It's like Ohio State tried to lean into more like it's a salary deal. Like you're going to get so much a month or so much a quarter. Maybe you have some front loading in there, whatever. You get so much after the portal closes, second, like different things. There's some different hurdles in there. And so I don't know if he'll get the full boat of what it was, but like what he's got, a lot of those contracts are very slanted to the player. So he might, I mean, they would maybe had a hard time trying to recoup that anyway. And by the way, I don't know if I should, am I feeling bad for Texas Tech right now for giving that money, because I think that they had an idea that what was going on and that this could have happened. Like this was in the realm of possibility. So they signed up for that. You know, they went in there. I mean, they didn't protect themselves. So if you're rolling raw, you got to deal with all the good and bad that comes with that.
Could be a lot of years after making those type of mistakes. I hear what you're saying for sure. But it definitely was a question I had. Is what type of homework Texas Tech did, or the lack thereof, that they did when it came to this whole thing? Because
so, let me tell you a little secret on that.
Yeah.
Cody Campbell funds most of this stuff.
Yeah.
All right. He, I think, was a fairly normal guy, played offensive line at Texas Tech, and over the last 20 years has made himself a multi-billionaire.
Correct.
You ever watch Landman?
Yes, I have. I actually enjoyed the show.
Yeah, it's great.
Billy Bob, yeah. Great.
Those guys don't get to where they're at by not crossing T's, dotting I's, and sewing up loose ends when you have to. So I'm guessing that they probably did some recon. Okay. They may not have known exactly everything, but they probably had an idea of what they were getting into.
And if that's the case, then that leads me to believe that maybe they thought that it wasn't as bad as what it was and that this would be able to be swept under the rug.
Or maybe you could just keep pushing it out. Delay and deny.
Until he's out of sight, out of mind, and going to the NFL, I mean, possibly.
You got to think, like, it's not like they need to hold this off for 2 years. It's middle of June.
Yeah.
Like, 6 months from now, it's pretty much done.
I agree.
So like, you're thinking, like, we could just tread water and get through this thing.
And I'll be very interested, Bobby, to see the amount of effort we get from Texas Tech at this level when it comes to their spending now with this story. Because last year, spent a bunch of money on that roster as well, and they got to the playoffs, didn't get to where they wanted to get, but this is what they have been doing down there at Texas Tech, is throwing out a bunch of money at the program. And so will they be scared off now by this situation? My gut is telling me no, that they're going to want to course correct and swing big again. we'll see what that looks like next all season. But this is a guy that they thought was the cream of the crop when you look at the quarterbacks that were available in the offseason. And they spent millions and millions of dollars to do it. And obviously there's some regret there. We'll continue to unpack this because now we're going to advance the story to the supplemental draft. Mm. What that looks like.
The soups.
Who should be involved. How involved should the Browns be in this and trying to acquire Brendan Sorsby coming out of college now going into the NFL via the supplemental draft? We'll talk about it next. It's Rothman and Ice right here. .org.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny for us today with temperatures warmer and highs in the upper 70s all across central Ohio. And then for tonight, maybe a few stray showers or storms, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the 50s. For Wednesday, increasing clouds throughout the day with temperatures topping out in the low 80s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
If you've recently seen a photo of an older Baker Mayfield fresh off a bender, it's just Bo Bishop. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Anthony once got Jack Nicklaus to quote the movie Caddyshack.
So he's got that going for him.
The last time I saw a mouth like that, I had a hook.
Which is nice. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Let's go while we're young.
Welcome back in. Bobby Carpenter in the house today for AR. Brendan Sorsby, the hot topic today because he will no longer be playing college football. He is going to try to make a career now in the NFL coming in through the supplemental draft. So the NFL supplemental draft order, here's how this thing is going to lay out, how the teams can get in on Brendan Sorsby. It is determined by a lottery system based on the previous season's results. So teams are grouped kind of in three different tiers here. So you'll have playoff teams, teams with six or few wins, remaining non-playoff teams as well. So those are the three tiers. If multiple teams submit the same round bid on Brendan Sorsby, the team with the higher supplemental draft priority is awarded the player. And so now we kind of had some conversations.
They had those tiers. Like, so is there...
So it's teams with six or fewer wins,
yeah,
remaining non-playoff teams, and then the playoff teams from last year.
So if there's, this is what the one thing I didn't understand. I'm like, if there's two teams within the same tier, do they just break it down by record then? Is that to determine?
Like that's a good question that I don't really have the clarity on as well. And so a lot of this is kind of murky because we don't deal with this all the time.
They haven't had one in a while.
And so some of the top players that have come out of the supplemental draft are guys that we know pretty well, right? And Chris Carter and Josh Gordon.
I think Bernie Kosar,
Terrell Pryor in this as well. So it's interesting, kind of the local-ish vibe that the supplemental draft has had. Yes, he was as well, coming out of Baylor. And so it's interesting how kind of Ohio has been kind of attached to the supplemental
draft. Browns like to do some work in the supplemental draft.
Right, and so that raises the question now, Bobby. Should the Browns get in on this? What do you think based off of where their current quarterback room is at the moment?
I would put, because here's the thing, next year's quarterback class is going to be really good.
It's supposed to be 4 to 5 deep of guys that can be first round picks.
And that's always, that was the case this year.
100%.
And it didn't end up panning out. So there is that potential. The thing is, like, how bad do you think you're going to be? I mean, is it worth putting the third overall pick on Brendan Sorsby? Is it worth putting like the 35th overall pick? Because if you're like the Browns in there, I mean, I'm not saying you're going to be bad. I think with Roth, I think their over-under is like five. It was six and a half. I think 6-7 wins is probably realistic for him. Mm-hmm. That's still probably putting you around the top 10, somewhere between 8 and 12. So you start looking at that, like, is he going to be worth that?
Go ahead.
For the first two rounds.
Yeah.
Maybe second. I would feel comfortable putting a third on there.
Mm-hmm. That feels better to me than a second does.
Because if you're a top 5 pick, the second, I mean, you're a top 40. You got two bites at that.
No question. It feels to me, Bobby, that if the Browns are going to get in on this, that you're probably going to have to be in that second round pick range to get this thing done. The one team outside of Cleveland that I'm very intrigued by in this scenario is the New York Jets. because the New York Jets have three first-round picks in next year's draft. So they maybe have the ability to throw these around a little willy-nilly, if you will, and feel good about, hey, if we swing and miss on this with Sorsby and give up one of our ones, we have Geno in-house, and we still have draft capital next year to move around if the quarterback class is as good as we think it may be as far as depth goes. So that's one team that I've been thinking about, Bobby, to where they could bring him in this year. Geno could hold it down for the majority of the year, entire year, whatever that may look like. And then if Sorsby is that dude, then you can hand the keys over to him next year and have draft capital to play around with.
Yeah, I guess that is, there is that element with it. The thing is, do you want to spend like a second round pick next year and then a first round pick on a quarter? I mean, you're essentially spending your first two picks on quarter or first two rounds on quarterbacks. Yeah. A team that would be really intriguing for me with this would be the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is Aaron Rodgers' last year. He said it's his last year. You're kind of gearing up and understand that. You drafted Drew Aller in the third round. You drafted Will Howard in the fifth round. You're going to get a look at those guys. But you could bring in a guy who could be is a potential first-round talent, is what people have said. And you could do that without detracting from what your season is this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like you drafted a quarterback. You weren't the Rams. You didn't draft a quarterback this year that's not going to be able to help you.
Right.
You're drafting a guy this year that you can get a look at him, and it's going to be it's going to take into effect next year. So if I was Pittsburgh, I would probably throw a second round pick at that.
I like this call because it feels to me that Pittsburgh is going to be good, too good to be in the mix for what's supposed to be the good quarterbacks in next year's draft. Right? That's kind of they're always in that range, that 17 to 25 range in the NFL draft over the last couple of years.
Yeah, they may if they miss the playoffs, it'll probably be by a spot or two.
Correct.
They could probably get. I think they'll probably get in. I think they could win a game.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like what they are.
Yeah.
So that's going to put you probably between like 17 and 25, mm-hmm. which is like kind of crappy if you're trying to get one of those guys.
100%. If we're comparing the situations between Cleveland and Pittsburgh when it comes to Brendan Sorsby, the Steelers situation feels a little bit more cleaner for me to enter himself into than the Browns. Just right now with the uncertainty of, well, is it Deshaun? Does Deshaun still have it? Can Shador still figure it out? Is Dylan Gabriel factor at all in any of this? Doesn't feel that way to me. But that situation, I like that call. TLC, you are the Steeler fan here on the show. What do you think of that possibility? Would you be on board, excuse me, with Omar Khan, the decision makers in Pittsburgh, let's say giving up a second round pick to get this thing done for Brendan Sorsby?
I'm not a big fan of chasing sunk costs because this has already taken place. But if my team spends a second and third round draft pick on a quarterback in the same year, having already taken Aller, who I don't even like, so, you know, whatever on that. But that's just the whole salt in the wound thing. It's like, I didn't even like the Aller pick, and now in the same year, it's like we're committing a second round pick to a different quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on. I'm also, now I'm like totally dug in on Rothman's opinion that Baker Mayfield could be going to the Steelers after this year if the extension doesn't
work
out.
That's what you
so
want, huh?
I'm kind of dedicating my focus to that right now.
I just don't think, Bobby, because when AR brought that up, TLC I kind of lit up.
You can check a lot of boxes there.
I'm definitely seeing the vision. Him having some get back against Cleveland, I think, would be something that he could get down with.
Maybe
I just
Cleveland
don't
brings him back.
Deshaun or Baker? Next year, higher percentage of that guy being Cleveland's quarterback.
I would
Which
say
one?
Deshaun.
Yeah.
I don't know if Baker. I don't think he would go back just simply out of spite. He is a very vengeful guy.
He is. And that's why I think he would be down for playing
against
for the Steelers twice a year to run that back there. I just don't think Tampa's going to screw this up with Baker. I would be blown away if they don't figure a deal out come week one. He goes the entire year without anything happening, and then he hits the free agent market. We talked to Shefty on Wednesday, and he was like, they would probably franchise tag Baker. He's not getting to the free agent market.
GM Rothman, he already has the he has his hand in his pocket with the franchise tag ready to be pulled out.
He does.
He's ready to go. Oh, Baker, franchise. You don't like what we're giving you? Bam, slap the tag.
I own you.
How's that taste? How's that taste, big fella? Now we control you.
I'm in on the Browns doing this. I am, me personally. I think it's worth any team that has been searching high and low for competent quarterback play.
They've searched everywhere.
You've got to make these type
low
of,
than high.
Correct. You You've got to make these type of swings. I think it would be worth it for them to get in on this. Andrew Berry, to me, Bobby, has done a pretty good job identifying talent over the last couple of drafts. We'll see what this draft class looks like, but last year's guys are some dudes for them.
Do you not like the Sorsby pick because you just don't want two quarterbacks or you don't like him as a player?
Well, I've barely watched him, so I'm not going to even comment on that just because I wouldn't have that educated of an opinion. But it would also be just like, for a position that only has one on the field, I think just compiling a giant room of names isn't very productive.
So what the Browns did last year.
Yeah.
At that position.
It's like, all right, hey, we got all these options. It's like, okay, you can only play one of them. So it's like you can't like add them all up. Like, it's not like receiver where you can't have four receivers and, you know, hey, on any given play, someone can make a big play. So it's like, just, you're still only as good as your best quarterback, and you don't get to just, like, add them all up and say, hey, in summation, the quarterback room has some talent. It's like, no, they don't.
I don't really.
Unless Brendan Sorsby's really good.
I would be okay with that if I were you guys, like, to just kind of post Big Ben. I think you're not in the same position as Cleveland. But the search has been on, and so why not is how I'm looking at this, because if one of them hits, then who cares if you have the other one just on your roster? You know what I mean? You're not getting anything from him. If it works with Sorsby, Aller, who cares? You know what I mean?
Well, that's the caveat, is if it works. And so there's still going to be a part of me, because Omar Khan is such a bad drafter, that if even one of them works, I'm going to be like, well, then why'd you spend a second round pick on the other one? Or why'd you spend a third round pick on the other one?
I guess the question too.
Spread it around a little bit. It's like your futures.
Yeah. No kidding.
I think the question you have to ask yourself, if you're Cleveland, Pittsburgh, the Jets, maybe Arizona, Bobby gets in on this as well.
Miami.
Yeah. Those type of teams, is what does the free agent market look like next year too? And if that's going to include, let's say, a Baker, a Kyler, potentially, then you maybe hold off on this. But I just think both.
Well, what does Kyler look like this year? That's another big thing. Like, he might be a free agent. Is he going to be one that you want?
Is he going to be a guy you covet? But if he plays well, then that might be a hefty ticket as well to pay, too. So, yeah, all of this is going to be interesting now to see, with the whole Brendan Sorsby situation now becoming clear, because over the last week or two, it was a wild ride, man. And so Texas Tech on their side, who was, according to Vegas, a pretty significant favorite to win that conference. I wonder where the odds have gone now. I can't imagine.
They'll move down.
Yeah, BYU, I believe, TLC, when we talked about it last week, they were the team with the second best odds to win the conference.
This morning.
Let's take a look at that. We'll come back from break, identify that in the Big 12, and also lock in on what ESPN thinks about some of the top players coming out in next year's draft, because they have three Buckeyes as top five players at their positions. We'll tell you who after the break. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Hey, it's Bobby Carpenter, and summer's here, and it's time to upgrade your ride at Germain Toyota. Whether you're heading to the lake, the ballpark, or your next family road trip, the all-new 2026 Toyota Tundra is built for every adventure. Right now, get 0% APR financing for up to 60 months on the 2026 Tundra with vehicles sold at MSRP. That's legendary Toyota quality, power, and capability with an incredible summer offer. Visit Germain Toyota at the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road, or online at germaintoyota.net. Germain Toyota, your summer starts here. See dealer for details.
Stay hydrated. It's hot out there.
So my teenage son just went out in sweatpants and a hoodie. It's 98 degrees. At least I know he'll be cool in our house, thanks to Atlas Butler. If something goes wrong, they'll fix it within 24 hours. They call it their comfort pledge.
Get too hot?
Maybe my phone.
Oh, your phone. Should have known.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hey, this is D. Miller. Did you know that 1 in 4 men over 40 have low testosterone? They have low energy, low sex drive, low motivation, and barely recognize themselves. But 100% of them can get all that back and feel like themselves again at Low T Center. Low T Center is the original TRT clinic, changing lives since 2009. They can help you get your energy, focus, and sex drive back. They even work with most major insurance providers. So head to fixmylowt.com and book your free testosterone test. That's fixmylowt.com.
Spring cleaning is when homes get a new twinkle in their eye,
a new spring in their step,
a new color in their cheeks.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. We'll be there before you hang up the phone.
When that shiny truck from 1-800-GOT-JUNK arrives at your house,
it's a sign of a new beginning.
A clean start.
A breath of fresh air.
When your home feels clean and happy,
the people inside feel clean and happy too.
We make junk disappear.
All you have to do is point.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK
or visit us at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Rossmann and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Want to jinx your favorite sports team?
Please get out of my Van Halen t-shirt before you jinx the band and they break up.
Just ask Maddie to print your shirts.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That you are. Welcome back in. Bobby Carpenter in the building today reacting to the Brendan Sorsby news. Fallout from that with him leaving Texas Tech and entering the NFL's supplemental draft. We were curious about the Big 12 odds now to win the conference. Last week when we checked, Bobby, Texas Tech was in the range of minus 120, minus 140, something like that. I'm looking at now plus 100 to win the conference. Behind them is BYU at plus 600. So obviously some movement there in their neck of the woods. We were looking at some stuff on the TV during the break, and you were kind of impressed by Brendan Sorsby and his mobility, looking at some of the highlights that are popping around right now.
Oh, yeah, Pat. I mean, they were showing on McAfee, like, him moving. I've watched him throw the ball a lot. I watched some of Cincinnati's games last year. I mean, he can sling it. He gives me a little Jay Cutler vibe, and I mean that, like, in a good way. I mean, Jay was a great athlete and had a really strong arm. I think he has that. Like, now the temperament and everything else that's going on, I mean, that's, well, you got to figure that out yourself. And it's a guy who likes to gamble a little bit, too, so he got some off the field.
Yeah, that's... I'm glad you brought that up, because
like everybody just looks at him like, okay, well, that's in the NFL.
Right.
It didn't happen before. Like, it happened. It didn't happen there. Like, it's true, but if what we're believing about him is true and he has a, quote, gambling problem,
mm-hmm.
that just doesn't go away.
Right, and now in a situation to where we can maybe assume that he's going to be around and have his hands on even more money, right, in the NFL and some of the opportunities that are available to him. How is he going to handle that? Who knows? But that's going to be the homework that the NFL has to do, and they're really going to have to dig in on who this guy is. We'll find out more about him as a player at 1:30 when Ryan Roberts, who covers the NFL draft and college football, does a great job breaking down the prospects. He'll join us at 1:30 from A to Z Sports. And so, Bobby, as we're gearing up again here for another summer, that's going to obviously lead into training camps and all that stuff for Ohio State. There's a lot of breakdowns of what this roster could be and some of the big-time players on this roster this season, especially when we start talking about the 2027 draft. And so over at ESPN, their draft analysts Matt Miller and Jordan Reed have ranked the top five players at their positions for the 2027 cycle. And when you look at offensive line, what jumped out to me is Austin Siervo is the number five offensive tackle, according to Matt Miller. And you have Luke Montgomery, who is on this as well, who is coming in, it looks like, as the number three guard. And Bobby, coming out of how last season ended, right? And there was just so much talk about what was happening up front and how that just wasn't as clean as they would want it to be. That's an encouraging sign. Now, that's just on paper, and that's just two guys that we mentioned. We know there's a few other guys that have to fill in the gaps there along that offensive line. But if those guys hit and you get a few other guys to come along with them with some consistent play up front, we know this offense has a chance to be special.
Absolutely. It's interesting. And I know that he's, you know, public enemy number one, but it's something that's very true, and Jim Harbaugh has said this fairly recently, I think a week or two ago, where the only position that isn't dependent upon any other position's success is the offensive line. If they're good, they make everyone else good. To be a good running back, you have to have a good O-line. To be a good receiver, you have to have a quarterback that can get you a ball and an offensive line that can block for him. So there's a lot of iterations of this. So if you can have a really good offensive line, that makes it better for everybody else. And the question is, with Austin Siervo being the fifth tackle, like, is that even where he stays? Does he end up playing at right guard? The offensive line, I mean, the left side, Hinsman, Luke Montgomery, and Austin Siervo all were very good last year. Even Philip Daniels, there were some times where he struggled a little bit on the right side, but he was pretty good most of the time. It was really at right guard. They were trying to figure that out, you know, who was going to be in there, what it was going to look like. And the reality is, in spring, I think Ryan would have loved to have had an answer for that. But then you have, you know, Josh Padilla was hurt. You know, he didn't practice really at all. Gabe Van Sickle had some stuff that was bothering him. Austin, who ended up was playing some right guard, and Ian Moore was playing some left tackle. He was nicked up a little bit, and so he didn't get a chance to finish it. So they got to see a little bit of this stuff, but it wasn't as much work as I think Ryan probably would have liked.
You mentioned Sierveld, and Jordan Reed's the other analyst getting in on this. He actually has Austin as his number three offensive guard.
Yeah.
So he's leaning into what you're talking about and seeing some of the versatility that's there. And look, let's face it. You got to tip your cap to, especially Miami, right? Like, that was a defensive line that had two guys get drafted in the first round in Mesidor and Reuben Bain. And so that wasn't, hey, this is just us not handling our business and messing around and playing with our food. This is us going up against guys that are very, very talented, and they're showcasing what they can do as well. The other guy that's in this, no surprise to anybody that the third Buckeye ranked as a top five player at his position, is Jeremiah Smith. And we're at a point now, Bobby, to where I think even outside of Jeremiah, guys that are this good doing anything at this point in their career, you become numb to it because it's expected. It's another week, a number four going out there with seven grabs for a buck 10 and a touchdown. But this guy just continues to evolve. You know him very well. You see the work that he puts in, and he's the cream of the crop. And as long as he stays healthy, and I know he's hunting that Biletnikoff.
Yeah, he would be a shame if he didn't get it.
Because last year it was Mekhi Lemon. And the year before that, who won the Biletnikoff 2 years ago? Now, can't remember the top of my head who that would have been to win the Biletnikoff in 24.
Next senior, yeah.
Well, anyway, but that's something that for as a guy as hungry as he is, that kind of carrots out there for him.
Was that Neighbors? That
wouldn't surprise me.
Some Malik Neighbors.
Yeah, that's no. Who was it in 24?
Travis Hunter.
Oh, that's right.
Right. That's
the
right.
The Blitnikoff and the Heisman.
That's right. And the receiving numbers were legit. I believe double digit touchdowns or whatever that may look like. But yeah, Bobby, that has to be something that's not keeping him up at night, but it's something that he's chasing this year.
Oh, I think so. I mean, he wants to win. I think he probably wants to win a national championship, but the element of, yes, being the best receiver, you know, you got a guy who is potentially invited to New York. Like, you would anticipate that he would be winning the Biletnikoff and it'd be the third time with Terry Glenn, Marvin Harrison Jr., and then he would be the third. And you get worried because it's a little bit like Peyton Manning-esque, where he was just, or Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. Those guys were in college. They were so good for so long. And it was like, oh, you know, they'll win it next year. They'll get this. And then they end up leaving, and they've never gotten it taken care of. And next year, you'd have to assume, is probably Jeremiah Smith's final year in college.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think he's coming back for a fourth.
Yeah.
So you've got to do the best you can out there with this opportunity.
It's not going to shock me at all if he's a top five pick next year.
No, he should be.
If everything works out perfectly with the quarterbacks, and that may go like 1-2-3 or something like that.
Maybe a tackle up there.
Yeah, maybe a pass rusher or like Dylan Stewart or something if he pops off at South Carolina. But he has that upside, as we know, in my opinion, to go in the top five. But he's going to have some other guys here come along with him, right, in that wide receiver room this season. And that's an interesting focal point for me, Bobby, is the consistency of the other guys, not named Jeremiah Smith, and who's going to step up and be a consistent playmaker for Julian this season.
Absolutely. I think if you're getting Jeremiah Smith at sixth, the sixth pick, you're feeling probably really good about that.
Yeah.
But as far as who needs to step up, you know, you start talking about Parker and what he can bring to the table, McEwen, what he can bring to the table. I mean, I know Bell has stepped up and played a little bit better in the spring, but Brandon Ennis, like, you know what he is. Like, I don't know if he is the most explosive player you're going to have, but he is ultra consistent in the slot, does everything you want. He's a culture setter, a tone guy. Great. He is basically just an extension of Jeremiah Smith, his personality-wise. He's just a more vocal version of it. It's that second, you know, so they'll rotate some guys through a slot, maybe work some guys outside. But, like, who's going to be outside? Like, is it – I think everybody assumed it was Chris Henry. Brock Boyd played really well in the spring. Shaquaden Guilford played really well. But there's just there's probably more uncertainty about that third wide receiver position, third and fourth, than what we've had for a while in Ohio State.
And other teams are going to make those guys earn it, right, improve it early on in the season, especially when we think about that Texas game, right, when the talent kind of evens out, you're on the road. Their defensive coordinator, as does every defensive coordinator, is going to try to do everything in their power to slow down number four. And so that's what I'm going to be looking for early on in the season, is because they are going to double and triple team Jeremiah and do everything you can. And once, whether it's Chris Henry, Brandon Ennis, or some of the other guys that you mentioned show that they can hold it down, then things can balance out. But I think in those first 2 to 3 games, Bobby, that's going to be a fun thing to watch, because they're going to try to make a Julian play left-handed and go to the other side more times than not.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be rolling Cloud. You're going to have a second guy over the top of him all the time. Now, they'll get some single coverage, and when they do, you've got to take advantage of it. But, you know, it better be more in the first game, because the second game, you're going to want to have that figured out and have a plan. I mean, this is situation where you open with Ball State and then you're going down at night into Austin. So that's going to be, you know, a big heck of a deal down there. And you're going to want to feel good about your rotation and who that other playmaker can be, or who what other guys you have confidence in that can make those plays in critical moments.
100%. No doubt about it. Coming up next, James Dolan, owner of the New York Knicks.
Beloved owner, Maddie.
Asking his guys to make the ultimate sacrifice. You'll hear that next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, so why shouldn't your loan rate? CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.99% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org.
Terms apply. Minimum floor rates, 4.99% APR cars, 6.50% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, what's up, Trust?
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, The Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Anthony used to ski in his jeans? Are you serious?
No, he's not from New Jersey.
Back to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Bobby Carpenter in the building today. TLC back on the board doing his thing per usual. Hope you guys are having a great start to your Tuesday. We always, and I mean always, appreciate your time. Quick reminder, you miss anything from our show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice, everything we do from noon to 3. We'll be waiting there for you. By now, you all know the New York Knicks have won the NBA championship. If you want a good laugh, Bobby, just go to Twitter and type in Mikal Bridges and watch some of his Instagram live stream from yesterday, to where he's just taking shots of tequila.
They're better
just
than J.R., you think?
J.R. Smith's. You're talking in 2016?
Yeah.
That was some good social media fodder from him as well. But Mikal Bridges yesterday
was
really good
stuff.
I was worried
he was just going to wander into the parade and never like make it back. Just like wander out into the streets of the commoners.
Mikal was at least at home. Like, he was in his basement hanging out with some friends, it looked like. But he goes on Instagram Live and he was just as drunk as you could possibly be, talking about everything. But it was good stuff. So if you want to laugh, just go to Twitter or Instagram or wherever you get your social media stuff. Type in Mikal Bridges.
Is that safe for kids? Should I give that to my kids?
No. Probably not. Probably not. But I was thoroughly, thoroughly entertained. And so now when you have this stuff happen and you have teams getting to the top of the mountain, there's usually some cool stories that come out about how they got to this point and behind the scenes stuff that we obviously aren't privy to along the way. But now there's guys telling stories, and we have the audio for you about what the owner of the team asked his players to do, because the Knicks went on an incredible run, an incredible winning streak that led to them beating the Spurs in 5. But a funny story has come out about James Dolan and some of the things that he was asking of his players going into the postseason and the finals.
I had this idea that maybe you should give up sex for the next 10 weeks. You don't have to give up sex for the next 10 weeks. But like Spartans, you know what Spartans are? Right? They denied themselves, right, so that they could have an edge. Get the edge. Go home, talk to your wives, tell them, don't tell them you're not going to have sex. Don't tell them it was my idea. But let them know what this is going to be like, what your commitment is going to be like, and how they're going to have to sacrifice too. Those concerns at home, they can't come on the court. They can't come into the practice. For the next 10 weeks, this has just got to be all about us and about how we play. It's not who we play, it's how we play. Because I believe this team can beat anybody in the NBA. We've already shown that we can. So it's not who we play, it's how we play.
As a former professional athlete, what do you think of that request from an owner?
So it's interesting. It's coming from the owner. Now, here's part of it. And when I was listening to that, I was trying to determine, like, verb tenses to see if that was something that he had said before and now they're just pulling it up. But this is something he said after they won. So when you say it after they won, it kind of validates it. Like, hey,
yeah,
I told us to do this. You know, guys, you got to lean all in on everything. And we end up winning it. So now I can say that I said that and I'm like part of the win. By the way, like everybody in New York hates James Dolan. I mean, they used to. I don't know if he's still as hated as he used to be. But I mean, he was never a guy that was a fan favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not Charles Oakley either.
Who was in San Antonio, by the way, with his wife. I don't know if you saw that, but really? he was there.
Maybe they
celebrating. Yeah. But I'll never forget that day where Charles is in the stands.
Yes, they threw him out. Like,
had security coming up to him, and he's just mushing dudes all over the place. Oh, like, yeah. Don't touch me. I'll walk out on my own. And that
wasn't that long ago.
It really wasn't. Even prior to that, Dolan wasn't the most loved guy.
No.
And then after that, people were like, we're done with this guy. You're kicking a New York Knick legend out of the building. And the way that they did it, it was messy. But Charles was there after game five, which was pretty cool.
Maybe they mended fences, yep, and hopefully that's all good. But I've had coaches during like runs at the end of the season or playoffs that have alluded to that.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches that have talked like, listen, you know, is this important? You know, I know your family's big time. You know, I mean, Tyvus is out on paternity leave. Like, hey, right now, I mean, my oldest son was born December 1st of my fourth year in Dallas. You know, we're trying to win the division, trying to help. And I helped out with my wife a lot. I'd get my butt up and I'd do what I need to do. But, like, everything else was kind of shut down at that point. And so, like, you have to make sacrifices in your personal life sometimes. You're going out, you're not hanging out, you know. I mean, maybe you're abstaining from things, you know, with your loved one. Or maybe your significant other, maybe you're just kind of being more intentional with the times of your intimacy.
Hitting home runs. Maybe there's some singles and doubles.
We're getting closer to game, like towards the end of the week. You know, maybe we need to kind of, you know, start throttling back. And I played with guys like, oh, never after Thursday. I was like, come on, man, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a grown man. You should be able to handle your stuff, handle your business.
Was it an energy thing that they thought they were keeping in? Okay, they're keeping more energy in. I got you. Okay.
And I had another friend of mine. He's like, dude, I could, you know, right before the game, then go out there and play. Yeah. We'll be good to go because that's not impacting me at all. And everybody's has their own theory on whatever and kind of whatever works for teacher's own, you know. But I've had coaches that have kind of said that. In so many words, and it's like sometimes you got to put your personal stuff to the side, including a little bit of your relationship and maybe some of the intimacy that comes with that, because you know, you get these runs that you get to go on, and there's only so many. And I'm not saying like neglect your family, but I never missed a single practice for any of my kids or anything like that. And that's not like I'm not proud of all that. My wife did a phenomenal job of being able to handle that stuff. But I mean, the NFL, like professional sports, aren't forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one day you wake up and you're old and you're not able to play anymore. So you've got to take advantage of those opportunities when they're there in front of you.
100%. And leaning into the Knicks thing, to your point, that I think part of the reason why Mikal Bridges was so lit on Instagram is because he's one of those guys that doesn't drink at all during the season.
And that's awesome.
And so like the first time you have alcohol, like you have one drink and you're off your rocker. So James Dolan did come out and say as well, like, hey, if you make this sacrifice or did make this sacrifice, we'll get your wife some rings too. So he's apparently going to get
some
girlfriend's championship rings as well.
That might actually endear him a little more. I mean, the fact that you're doing that now for your guys, doing it for their wives, significant others, like that's a big deal.
Uh-huh.
And for a guy that's throwing Oakley out, playing in a band, everybody hated him. I mean, this like he brought a title back there. They put the team together. He's been largely unheard from. At least, I mean, I'm not the biggest Knick fan in the world, but I was never a Knick fan before, and I was seeing his stuff out there, so at least he was under the radar enough that it wasn't a national distraction. So, dude, go for it. Take care of your people. Like, mm-hmm. everybody's winning. You're the hero now of New York.
No question.
I mean, they'll hate you again soon, but at least enjoy this victory lap.
100%. So, yeah, I just, we got a bunch of calls yesterday, Bobby, about some folks annoyed by the fan base of the Knicks more so than, like, the team itself or anything like that. Yeah, it was one, because I mentioned earlier, yesterday, it's one of these teams that's in a rare position where they're in a big market, but they don't feel to me like a big market bought team.
Yeah, this well, because they've built that team.
Yeah.
It's not like they got three superstars, taped them together, and
correct.
Said, let's go. Jalen Brunson, nobody wanted him. The Cavs let him walk away.
So did Dallas. Mavs,
The Mavs let him walk on out of there. Like, so there's, I mean, they put this team together and kind of pieced it through draft and acquisition a little bit. And, you know, they play hard. They play as a team. And the Spurs were pretty good. And part of it is, too, Matty, when you're down every game in the fourth quarter, and you come back, there's an element of, grit that I think people appreciate. I mean, even if you're not a fan of either team, you're watching, it's like, Spurs are going to blow this damn thing, and the Knicks are going to come back on them again like they have every stinking game.
I think not only is it the chemistry that they've racked up over the last couple of years, but I think it's the Nova boys, too, playing in college that can show itself in those type of situations that paid off in a moment like that, going up against a young team in Wemby that haven't been in that moment, obviously, that have, when you get down to those nitty-gritty moments and closing out games the way that you're talking about.
Just pass it across the top of the key to nobody who's looking and it goes to and the
throw it off your teammates' back
it,
and all
it to
that.
The score table. I'm like, what are we doing?
All four of the Knicks' wins in this series were them crawling out of a double-digit hole.
They're down in every game.
Every single one of them. It was absolutely crazy, entertaining stuff from the Knicks. But yeah, James Dolan, no intimacy. No intimacy. Be like those Spartans from 300, which is a phenomenal movie, by the way. The follow-up was okay. Sequel was okay. I don't know if you saw that one.
I haven't seen the second one.
I don't know if you need to see it.
The first one's so good.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we start off with a bang. I mean, just kicking that dude.
Oh, yeah. Into the well.
This is Sparta. I mean, amazing. And then you get.
Because you learn how they train them, dude. They take the boys when they're 11. They have to go kill the wolf.
That's
you know, you get the spear and go back. Tell my wife, your job is to love the kids. My job is to make sure my boys come back with the wolf head.
That's it.
All right? King of the North.
He went out like a G2, Leonidas did.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just the sky full of arrows, just taking them out. He went out like a G. He really, really did. Coming up top of the hour, the upcoming 27 quarterback draft class is supposed to be one of the better ones we've had in a while. But according to one of the quarterback's head coaches, we all need to slow down just a bit. We'll tell you why next. It's Rothman and Ice.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. After making the Stanley Cup Final, the Vegas Golden Knights announced John Tortorella will not return as head coach next season. The former Blue Jackets head coach was 21-6 after taking over March 30th after Bruce Cassidy was fired. Baseball, Reds host the Mets tonight at 7:10. New York's Kodai Senga starts against Cincinnati's Brady Singer. Fan 2 coverage starts at 6:40. Guardians visit the Brewers at 7:10. Cleveland slays Coney Doles and Milwaukee's Robert Gasser. Golf, round one pairings for the U.S. Open at Shinnecock were announced today. Five-time major champ Brooks Koepka will play after missing Sunday's final round of the RBC Canadian Open with a hand injury. He'll start the tournament Thursday morning at 7:30, paired with Cameron Young and Chris Gutterup. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union, bmifcu.org/consolidate. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Matty is a diehard Reds fan.
I mean, where else is he going to go?
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in, folks. Bobby Carpenter, Matty Ice, TLC, rocking out with you today. Always appreciate your time. Tyler Danberg doing an awesome job on the update desk. You heard TD mention, Bobby, that Torts and the Golden Knights not running it back. I kind of wanted to see them take another lap around the track after the incredible run. Obviously, it didn't end the way that they wanted it to, but the quick knee-jerk firing that they made prior to bringing in Torts, you never know what you're going to get. He got that team in order. I know they had some weird things to figure out down the stretch of the final and all that, but, man, I pretty quick decision, I guess, is why I'm surprised that this didn't take a little bit more time.
Well, I'm curious as to whose decision it was.
Maybe it was John's.
And there's a point of it. It's like, all right, this was it. I tried my run. We had it. And, you know, I'm good.
Right.
You know, and like maybe when he went in, maybe he told them at the beginning, I'm coming in. We're hopping on a moving train. I'll give you all I got till the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they probably never thought, like, well, we'll be playing in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right.
And then you're there, you're like, well, maybe we should have him back.
Yeah.
I mean, how do the players feel about this? There's a lot of, like, elements.
Yeah.
Because I know that he's a guy that can be tough to play for. But when he takes a team that was underachieving and he puts you, I mean, you're up 2-1 with game four at home.
Yeah.
Chance to go up 3-1 in the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, that's... Yeah. That's a big time. That's a big deal.
There's no doubt about it. So I'm sure we'll get some details, or at least I'm hoping we get some details about what went into this, because I think you posed some really good questions about, was this his decision? Is he just done with coaching altogether? Because I have to imagine, coming out of this performance from him and the team, that there's going to be some interest around the league if there's where there's openings, right, to bring him
the
in.
The right team.
Correct.
Like a team that's like that, that's ready to win. And that's why, you know, just similarly with what the Jackets did. You know, you bring in a guy, and all of a sudden, it's like he's a veteran guy, older guy, probably don't have a ton left, but, like, we got a lot out of it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's the long-term solution, but forget the long-term solution. Let's go try to win again.
Yeah.
You know, if they're, and I don't know what the contract situations are in Vegas and if their team's going to be, like, breaking up or what that looks like. But if you have, like, a lot of that core coming back, you know, to say run it back with him, I mean – the guys know what they're getting now.
100%. And so that's interesting right now in the world of hockey. You got the NHL doing this investigation into the whole Mike Babcock deal.
That's amazing.
As well. And so,
investigate him. Investigate him. Like, they put everything out there, what happened. It's not like it's really hidden.
Yeah, it just seems like some troubles are brewing in Edmonton.
It's not an investigation. Call a couple of the players that played for him.
Correct.
See what they think.
Right. And so, yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch as well. And so yesterday, Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian was on the Kay Adams Show, the Up and Adams Show, and there's kind of just been this automatic assumption that Arch is coming out next year. Like, we're getting Arch, we're getting Dante, we're getting, you know, CJ Carr and all these guys that should be really good players this year and potentially top 10, 15 picks, whatever that's going to look like. But Sark's pushing back just a little bit on what could be around the corner for his quarterback one.
With Arch, do you know what's happening? Has the conversation happened as far as like 2027? And beyond, are we waiting? Like, I guess the question is, how surprised would you be if you wanted to stay?
You know, we haven't had the discussion, but I will tell you.
In that room, too.
Yeah, I will tell you, I would not be surprised. I think Arch really loves college football. I really do. I think he loves the University of Texas. You know, he does pretty good through NIL. You know, he's got some pretty good endorsements going right now, which is a credit to him and obviously the lineage of the last name and the brand of the University of Texas, all those things coming together. But again, on the same token, I won't be surprised if he declares and decides to go to the draft. But I think some of that is dependent upon, you know, how we play as a team this fall, how he plays individually, knock on wood, injury-free football, things like that. But again, that's not our focus. Our focus is on getting ready for the season, getting ready for Texas State in week one, and then Ohio State, then UTSA, then Tennessee, so on and so forth. So we haven't really had any dialogue about it. But to your point, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, he loves college. And again, he's got some pretty good NIL stuff going for himself right now.
Sark brought it up twice in that clip. And you, while listening to Sark, threw up the Johnny Manziel money sign hearing him as well. And that is obviously a driving force in a lot of this, is how comfortable you can be in the college landscape now when you're a player of his caliber financially and not feel like I have to chase that. And not only does Arch have his own financial stuff going on, he's got a comfortable financial situation around him as well, just because of who his family is. And so that makes sense to me, but it would shock me if he did run it back again next year. Where are you at?
I think when he first got there, I mean, everybody, I think, thought he'd play 1 year this year and be out.
Yeah.
And so for guys to talk about, like, leaving and making public statements on it before they've played a single game in a season, I think is always dangerous. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that could happen. Injuries, don't play as well. You know, just a litany of things could occur that you have no idea. So to plan for something now that is going to be taking place in February, that a lot of that's going to be contingent upon how you play.
Yeah.
It's a big gamble. Like, just to say, even if you have it in your mind and you've talked about it privately and with your, like, with your close group of people, to say that out there publicly, and for Sark to be like, yeah, he told us he was done. I mean, you know, we've had conversations. You know, what does it look like if I come back? you know, if I decide to leave, here will be kind of the process and what's the timeline look like that and all those different things. Like that's the stuff that they're going to work through. But, you know, to overtly come out and say, you know, this is going to be it for me no matter what. Well, you don't know what the what is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say this as a fan of both the NFL and college football. I'm actually here for these guys at this position taking their time to get to the NFL because I think it works for everybody involved. I think it works for us as fans consuming the sport at a high level in college and these guys figuring it out and being around for a decent amount of time. And I also think it can help on the NFL side of things because you get these quarterbacks that have played at a very high level in certain conferences, but have been under center for a while that I think gives them a chance to get in the NFL and be more successful quicker than maybe another guy would have been in the past. Like I think about Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels. That's it. Two great examples.
Right. Like Jaden Daniels comes out his rookie year and was absolutely a monster. And he spent a bunch of time at Arizona State, had that incredible year at LSU on his way to win a Heisman. And then you look at year number one in Washington and it's 25 touchdowns to go along with almost, you know, 900 rushing yards as well. So I have to imagine experience along with obviously God-given talent played a factor in his success right away.
I think just being older helps too. Your 100%. Ability, you're more mature. You've seen things, you've been around it, but you're not as emotionally volatile. That's not a bad thing, but just as you get older, generally you've seen more stuff and you become, you know, a little more just mature outside of the game as well. And we've seen this now that, you know, guys that don't start for 2 years at least usually struggle. And maybe they're able to get it back, but a lot of times they struggle early on. And because that learning curve in the NFL is steep and it is unforgiving.
Yeah.
So I think Arch's parents, like they all look at this, you know, their whole family. It's like, well, and they, by the way, Eli and Peyton both played four years.
Yeah.
I think did Eli get redshirted? Not sure if he started as a freshman or not, but those guys all played. You know, they were at school for at least 4 years and played pretty darn well. And because of that, they started off quicker in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And now that you can make money while you're in school, too, like it's not as near as punitive to stay back and not go ahead. Right. So it makes a lot of sense why they're doing this. And to come out now and make that statement of like, you know, we're out of here regardless. Well, if he doesn't play very well, like, you really going to leave? Like, to go be what? The fifth or sixth quarterback taken? Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
You talked about the risk, too, and that's exactly what we're going to watch Dante Moore go through this season, right? Is the risk of staying healthy, one.
Yeah.
Playing well, too, which you mentioned.
But he can get better. Like, he just hasn't played very much.
That's it. I would have made the move this year solely based off of Bobby knowing that if I'm Dante Moore, I know I'm going 2 overall. And I'm probably going to the Jets. And if this quarterback class is as good as it's supposed to be, maybe there's a team or two that looks at, I don't know, Julian or Drew Mestemaker or CJ Carr as a guy that they like a little bit more. But I just think when you look at the landscape of college football, what's under center this year is supposed to be really good. And I can't wait to see what it looks like. This Texas schedule, though, is going to be an absolute banger for them to work through. We talked a lot about Ohio State's schedule this year that obviously includes the Longhorns. But for Texas, it's trips to Tennessee. It is trips. The last three games of the year, you're going at LSU, home against Arkansas, and then at Texas A&M as well. They'll host Ole Miss, they'll host Florida, but Arch is going to have plenty of opportunities to showcase who he is against some pretty good talent this season.
Absolutely.
That LSU game I cannot wait for. Because
it'll be a banger.
I can't wait to see what LSU is this year, Bobby, with Lane in year number one, because if he gets that place rocking, as we know, like LSU's one of those programs, when they're right, to me, it makes the sport better, along with Notre Dame and Texas and obviously Ohio State. But that's going to be one of those games for me where I can't wait to see what Texas looks like going up. We're going to have to wait a while. Obviously, it's mid-November, but LSU in year one, I won't be surprised if Lane's rolling out a good product right away.
It should be. Yeah. It'll be a good one to watch.
They spent a whole bunch of money, too.
They did.
By reports of it, sounds like they got a pretty expensive roster. Coming up, an NFL Hall of Famer thinks it's only a matter of time until one of his records gets broken. Do we agree with him? And who are some of the guys that we think can break this record? We'll break it down next. It's Rothman and Ice.
The Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long.
If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you.
Your home of the Reds.
The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3.
Fan weather
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center. Mostly sunny for us today with temperatures warmer and highs in the upper 70s all across central Ohio. And then for tonight, maybe a few stray showers or storms, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the 50s. For Wednesday, increasing clouds throughout the day with temperatures topping out in the low 80s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it. Anthony finally hit a hole in one.
It's in the hole.
So now what? Just bask in the glory?
And that's how she wrote.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That's who our bottom of the hour. Ryan Roberts, NFL draft analyst from A to Z Sports, will join us to talk about Brendan Sorsby as a prospect and a lot more. But I want to tell you right now that you can join us for the Fan 5K presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. It's a 5K run and 1 mile walk happening this Saturday at Otterbein University in Westerville. You can run the Fan 5K with T-Bone, the 9.71K with our guy Reeser, or the Common Man Mile, sponsored by Rose Pest Solutions. Or, if you're in the mood for a sprint, try to beat Tyvis Powell in the 40-yard dash, sponsored by Logan Services. Every participant gets a finisher's medal, a race shirt, free photos, and awesome giveaways. The Fan 5K is presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. Sign up today at 971therace.com. Again, you can sign up right now at 971therace.com. Should be a cool time happening this weekend, Bobby. I can't wait to see this 40 time for Tyvis, because Tyvis, yeah, he's a new baby is here. Has he had really time to really grind and get after it the last couple of weeks?
Probably 15 pounds heavier than when he played. The biggest regret that I have is I have to go with my son to Baltimore for a lacrosse tournament because I wanted to go there. And just, I mean,
and put up your 40 time versus Tyvis's 40 time.
Well, I go run with the guys,
yeah,
and so I have a firm idea of how fast I can run.
Okay,
I don't know if Tyvis has really been running all that much. Judged by the looks of him, I would say it's a negative.
I guess he was supposed to be getting ready also to steal a base over at Huntington. I don't know if you've heard about this.
Oh, yeah.
He was supposed to go up against a pitcher, catcher, first baseman, all that stuff for the Clippers, some AAA professional players, and steal second base. It's tough for me to see him getting that thing done. He even tried to bring Logan Allen into the mix, who's a lefty pitcher, which is like, I don't know if that's what you want, trying to steal second base. That makes it harder.
Right at you?
Yeah. It makes the job
harder. I mean, is that real? Did he understand?
What he said?
Like, he's looking right at you. That makes it infinitely harder.
Man, congratulations to Tyvis and his wife welcoming a new life into the world. But Tyvis, yeah, apparently he's going to be out there this weekend running 40s, and hopefully we'll all see you guys out there because we're going to have a good time at the Fan 5K. And again, you can sign up today at 971therace.com. Calvin Johnson, guy you know pretty well.
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson was talking to the Detroit Free Press about his single season receiving record, which was 1,964 yards back in 2012 in a 16 game season,
yeah,
back then. And so for him, he's looking at it now, Bobby, and saying this quote, it's only a matter of time before someone is able to top the record. If they go to 18, obviously meaning 18 games, well, they should be able to get it done. When they go to 18, there's no doubt about it. Hands down, it's going to happen. He's identified a guy that's attached to his former quarterback and teammate in Stafford and Puka Nacua as duo that he thinks might be able to get this thing done. He said, quote, I think that would be kind of dope. I'd have to go to that game if he did that because I like Puka. He's getting some crap out of his system. That's just a young guy figuring it out and learning, but I think he's awesome and a dynamic receiver. He was one of the first guys that I thought about in this that could break the record in time.
I think two of the guys that are out there now, they've got some time, but they're more in their primes now, are Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase.
No doubt.
And so the two things that's helping Calvin with that is that Joe's had some injury issues.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that's helping him a lot in Minnesota is Sam Darnold's not there anymore, and I don't know who's throwing the ball. You go look at Justin Jefferson's numbers. This is the first year. This is his lowest reception total outside of like 3 years ago when he was hurt and only played 10 games.
Yeah.
And he had like 84 that year.
And I'll say
and
this,
he only
Bobby,
played 10 games.
I thought he actually did a decent job of keeping himself composed all season. Now
you had me out there throwing to him, dude.
We got to the end of the season, and he kind of let his feelings out a little bit.
Yeah, because Seattle's like number right. one seed in the NFC. I'm out right. here with the funky bunch.
To your point about Justin Jefferson's season. So going back to 2024, so 2 years ago now, he caught 103 footballs, 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns. Last year, he only caught 84, had 1,048 yards, and only 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And the difference in targets wasn't that much. I mean, in 24 it was $1.54, and last year it was $1.41. Yeah. So it wasn't that drastic of a difference.
I can target him. Can you get it to him?
Correct. And so that, I actually think Kyler is going to be solid for them. I'm not sure about the ceiling, but I in that yeah. system with those playmakers, it's hard if you are a competent quarterback to screw that up.
And that'll be the question.
Yeah. Is,
this is his second chance. Mm-hmm. You're going to a place that's got a pretty good setup for you.
Yeah.
If you're Kyler, like, this is an opportunity for you to reestablish yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't do it there, you're really going to struggle.
Correct.
You've got a good offensive head coach. You've got a good offense around you. You have one of the best receivers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You've got a great pair of, like, you've got a good receiving room.
Yeah.
So if you can't go there and have success, I mean, buddy, we got to stay off the COD.
And I think, too, and I still can't believe Arizona did that. Because that, as soon as you do that, and not only do it, but make it public.
Oh, yeah, they were shaming him.
The bridge is burnt.
Yeah.
I just don't know which athlete that has any type of pride would feel like, hey, this is a relationship I want to stay in long term. It just, I think it completely cooked the situation when they did that to Kyler.
It probably did. I had talked to somebody who had played out there with him, and they couldn't, it was a guy closer to my age. It was the end of his career. He was I can't understand like how he has operated as like a quarterback all these years. Cause like you go into the huddle, you have to command guys, but it's like he grew up there. It's all spread.
Yeah.
You're never just calling plays or yelling stuff from the sideline. But he was like, just his level, not that he was like a distraction. He was, but just his level of professionalism, like in his, because he's an introverted guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't really talk out to people and like doesn't command things. And as a quarterback, that's kind of in the job description.
You got to have some of that.
You know, I
mean,
Jameis Winston might throw a lot of interceptions, but gosh dog it, he's going to get up there. I mean, those guys are going to go play for him.
Did you see the video of him with the...
picking the trash up.
Incredible.
God bless him.
I think it was Japan.
God bless him, man. I've come so full circle on Jameis Winston. I kind of liked him early at Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the crab legs.
The
F&P and everything going on. I mean, just all the immaturity.
For sure.
And the nonsense. Tampa Bay's just throwing a lot of picks, just going, you know, whatever. And then watching him like go through this second iteration, like, man, he's a really likable guy.
He is. And I think he is going to have all the opportunities he wants to be in sports media for the rest of his life, I think. Like, I just think like they're going to be, we were at the Super Bowl 2 years ago now in New Orleans. And you would have thought Jameis Winston was Tom Brady the way that he was getting mobbed and followed around down there, because all those outlets know that we're going to get some entertaining stuff to throw out on our platforms, and it's probably got a chance to go viral. So yeah, that clip's amazing. Like Jameis, he's easy to me now. He's very easy to root for.
Yes.
Like the whole speech, you know, playing in the snow against Pittsburgh and all that. It was just
snow globe.
The endless amount of things that he throws our way are fun. Going back to real quick, what Calvin was saying, because I think you identified two other guys that no doubt I think have a chance to do this. I was thinking about some others. CeeDee Lamb for me is one, but with Pickens there and how good Pickens was last year, it's hard for me to see that happening this season.
But you need a good number two, but you can't have a great number two.
Dominant of a number two. That's the problem in this. What do you, and this may be a little far-fetched, but a tight end I thought about was Trey McBride. With the amount of volume that he has gotten over the last couple of years, I couldn't really think of any other wide, like maybe Amon-Ra, but J-Mo's kind of figuring it out in Detroit, and then you got LaPorta.
Plus, like Amon-Ra St. Brown, he has a lot of catches, and he does have some bigger stuff, but he's not as crazy down
big
the
play
field
specialist
guy.
Type
have
of guy.
Almost 2,000 yards. Like, you've got to be having some 70-yard touchdowns in there.
And that to me is no doubt like Ja'Marr Chase, like just watching him, because he's got the ability to hit the home run over the top, but he's also got that ability to run a quick route and go, like
Calvin could do both of those.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so rare to see, because you got to be able to beat him over the top, but then also, listen, you catch that slant, you crease the defense, and then you're able to just straight up outrun the safety and go get it.
I want to see real quick before we go to break, because I think you bring up a good point about, like, let's say like yards per catch or something like that. Like I want Calvin for his career average 16.
And that's crazy.
A catch. And so he, every year but one, averaged 14 yards per reception. Yeah. And that was the last year of his career. Yeah, and so
31 years old.
Just 32. Ripping off multiple years of big play after big play after big play. And it's so unfortunate that we didn't get to see that duo in more impactful games.
Yes.
When they were at the peak of their powers. It just, the roster around them was just, wasn't as consistent as it needed to be, but you had two Hall of Fame talents that were ready to be a part of something special.
And that's what's tough is, like, you know, there was always some line issues. They had some injury. A lot of it was just injuries. Like, they had a pretty decent roster a lot of that time after they had finally got everybody going and established.
Yeah.
But they would just have some injuries. And, you know, part of that was, I think, organizationally, they would go through there and change some stuff up. But, I mean, that was a big part of it as well.
No question. Coming up in 2 minutes, now with the Brendan Sorsby news official that he is going to try to make a career in the NFL coming in through the supplemental draft. What type of player is he? How much investment should there be from some of the teams around the NFL? We'll talk to NFL draft analyst Ryan Roberts from A to Z Sports here in 2 minutes right here.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The most wonderful people in the history of Western civilization. Rothman and Ice, 97.1 The Fan. It doesn't get any better than this.
You're darn right. You're darn right. Going to light up right now the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and bring on one of our favorites. He's Ryan Roberts, NFL draft and college football analyst over at A to Z Sports. Ryan, what's going on, my man? How are we feeling today?
I'm good, fellas. I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're doing well. Thanks for asking, and thanks for your time. Let's start with the story of the day and the guy of the day. Let's start with Brendan Sorsby, and now him coming in through the supplemental draft. When you look at him as a talent, how invested should some of these teams be, whether it's the Browns, Jets, Cardinals, or maybe there's another team that you're looking at? Break down Brendan Sorsby, the situation, and where you think this is going to be headed.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating situation because, I mean, on the NFL side, you know, just kind of talking to a couple area scouts this offseason, because there were a couple that have done even deeper work in Sorsby, because there were some that thought that he might enter the 2026 NFL draft. There was a lot of high grades, you know, a lot of starter grades out there on this player going into the season. If you look at, like, some of the early spring grades from, like, NFS and Bledsoe, there's first round, second round grades just kind of floating out there all over the place. And as we know, the demand of the quarterback position is extremely high on the NFL level. So there's going to be a lot of intrigue about him. But when you talk about the situation with gambling issue, and I know that it's not under their jurisdiction in the NFL right now, but it, you know, we know how seriously they've taken that issue with, like, Calvin Ridley in the past, Isaiah Rodgers, Nicholas Petit-Frere. Like, they've taken some of these things very, very seriously. So I'm just interested to see what discounts a team might get if they do hold the supplemental draft, because it obviously still needs to be approved through the NFL. I know he submitted his application, but he wants to, you know, your next step is that you need to make sure the NFL is good with it and that they're going to hold the draft. So if they do hold the draft, though, I do think it's going to be interesting because, you know, if we're talking about a guy that most viewed as a first to second round talent, how much is he going to be docked based upon some of the off the field stuff that we're dealing with? Is this more like a third to fourth round guy? Because if it does end up being that in the supplemental, you may have gotten a huge value if everything checks out off the field and you feel okay about him long term. And obviously, like, nothing else surfaces down the road. So I think there's going to be demands here. I'm still working through in terms of what is that demand going to be if they do hold a supplemental draft in, you know, the end of next month. It's really going to be interesting because there's a lot of teams, because we just saw the 2026 draft did not have a good crop of quarterbacks. So the demand should technically be high by teams like the Arizona Cardinals, Cleveland Browns, maybe New York Jets. Like, there's some interesting landing spots there. I'm just really interested to see just kind of what that jockeying point of, you know, is this a third round supplemental draft pick that we're talking about? Is this a second? I doubt it's a first, but I'm just interested to see kind of what the valuation on top of the evaluation is going to look like.
Ryan Roberts of A to Z Sports joining us here on Rothman and Ice. And one of the things that you mentioned there, you know, the discount, like, first is probably a little rich. Second, it's like in the tiers. I mean, is the 38th pick in the draft next year worth Brendan Sorsby? I guess the other element of that, Ryan, looking at this is the NFL has, there's a precedent where they've punished some guys for stuff in college before that have entered the supplemental draft and come out. Now, a lot of that was related to amateurism and other things. But this is right. One of the things, as you have mentioned, where, I mean, they have had a zero tolerance policy. You break the rules, even if you're, you know, gambling on horse racing, but you're in the parking lot of the facility, as per Jameson Williams was claiming, you are on team property, and that is a no-no. And they've been very, very specific about that. You have a guy who was actively betting on games that he was practicing and dressing on the sideline. Could you see some sort of NFL punishment coming down? And do you think teams are trying to weigh that into their calculus for what to ultimately give to, for him to get?
So this is why the situation is so tough on some NFL teams, because like I said before, they've done film work on Sorsby before this, obviously, in the potential that he did enter last year's draft. But to your point, the interesting part now is that they have about a month here, as long as everything's approved, to figure out every part of this story and get down to the details of it. And a part of those details is going to be, for some of these teams, is they're going to want to know from the league front office as much information as they can potentially get of, is there going to be repercussions for this? Because obviously, the NCAA did, you know, had power, then they didn't have power, then he ends up going to the NFL, so it didn't really matter in the end. But ultimately, there is a situation where you're bringing in a player that has done the ultimate sin, you know, betting on his own football team, even though he didn't necessarily play in the football game when he was at Indiana. But that is a big no-no around the league. And you mentioned, like, the repercussions. It's like Calvin Ridley was suspended indefinitely a couple years ago, and he got his reinstatement. But the point is that he had to file for reinstatement after the year because there was just, like, this is not something that we're going to allow to happen. So the long to the short answer is I think that there could be something down the line. I don't have any sourcing that necessarily will happen. But with how the NFL does take this so seriously, I would not be shocked if there is some type of suspension that does happen, whether that's six games, whether that's a full season, I don't really know. But ultimately, I'm not really sure it matters, because I think with not having a full off season as a rookie quarterback in general and the maturation and acclimation that needs to happen in that situation in general, I think Brendan Sorsby is going to be a redshirt guy next year anyway. So, like, some teams might not be worried about the suspension because they're looking at him as, like, this is a year two, year three potential guy for us. So I'm not sure it matters, but I would not put it past the NFL to take some course of action, because, again, that is they don't want anything resurfacing, obviously, and they want to continue to have the forefront of this is not right. Even if it wasn't under our jurisdiction, we're not going to allow this to happen in our game.
We're talking Brendan Sorsby and the top 2027 draft prospects with Ryan Roberts from A to Z Sports. Ryan, zooming out from Brendan Sorsby, but staying in the quarterback realm, when I've been looking up a lot of the 2027 class, a name that keeps popping up at the quarterback position that I don't know much about is Drew Mestemaker. And so, who is Drew Mestemaker? Why does his name keep popping up as a potential dude and a potential first round pick? Fill us in on him.
Yeah, so he's got maybe the most fascinating story in college football, because he hadn't played quarterback since his freshman year of high school. He was a safety and I think a punter, and he was like an all district guy in both spots coming out of high school. And then so he walks on to North Texas, gets an opportunity. His bowl game of his true freshman season, he starts the game, but he maintains the red shirts. And then he rolls into last season, and he played really well. And obviously that's on the G5 level, but, like, he played at a really high level. His Coach Morris, who coached him over at North Texas, takes the job at Oklahoma State, takes him with him. So now he's going to be on the Power 4 level in the Big 12, and we get an opportunity to see him at Oklahoma State to see how well he does. He's a really gifted athlete, though. He's like 6'4", 215 pounds. He moves exceptionally well, which explains kind of the safety background he had in high school. So I'm really interested to see just how he, one, acclimates to the jump in competition, because there's some natural tools to really get excited about. But the one hesitation I do have of, like, kind of firmly putting this is a 2027 NFL draft prospect is he's only going to be a redshirt sophomore. He's only going to have 1 year of G5 football under his belt. Or Power 4 football under his belt, excuse me. So I'm curious to see how well he just kind of takes that transition, how well he plays overall. I feel like we might be kind of jumping the gun slightly because he might actually end up being more of a 2028 NFL draft prospect, but certainly some really interesting traits to kind of keep a close eye on this year.
So guys that you've seen that are going to be eligible for the draft next year, Andy, you'll kind of rank your top five, and then where would you kind of put Sorsby in that mix?
Oh, I mean, so if Sorsby was there, he would have been probably quarterback three for me this summer. You know, I do have Arch for now at quarterback one. I love a lot of what he has in terms of the mental makeup, the talent. Obviously, he needs to take a step from what we saw last year, and he started to show the maturation down the stretch of the season. So I'm pretty confident that he'll take that step. And then Dante Moore is just kind of, he's a de facto quarterback two for me right now. Like, I admittedly am not in love with Dante Moore, but I like a lot of what Dante Moore is. He's got kind of that high floor to him, like a CJ Stroud, in terms of, like, I see him at least being a solid starting quarterback. We can question maybe what the ceiling is. After that, it probably would have been Sorsby, just kind of betting on tools, because the fun part of summer scouting, comparatively to when you do your final evals, is you can bet on things a little bit more, right? Because you do have to take into account, like, there is a season of progression potentially on the horizon. So it would have been Sorsby after that. After that, like, we haven't done our full deep dive. So, I mean, there's going to be guys, like you mentioned, Drew Mestemaker. There's going to be guys maybe like Julian Sayin, a couple other guys that maybe will be in that conversation to be a potential top five. But I do think if Sorsby was in this class, for sure, I think that he would be locked in at least in this preseason for me to be a top three guy.
Ryan, we'll get you out of here on this one. We've had a couple drafts here to where we've had running backs drafted fairly high, right? When you look at what the Raiders did a couple years ago, when you look at what the Cardinals have done now with Jeremiah Love, is there a running back that we're going to watch throughout the upcoming college football season that you think has a chance to be that type of back, or are we looking at more of a lighter running back class this year as far as maybe an elite guy at the top?
Yeah, I don't think there's a Jeremiah Love, but I do think that the top is deeper than it was last year. It was kind of, I know Jadarian Price went in the first round, but it was kind of Jeremiah Love and then a little bit of a chasm in terms of, like, from him to the running back two in the class. I think we're talking about a three-horse race of Ahmad Hardy from Missouri, Kawan Lacy from Ole Miss, and then Jaden Ball from Florida are probably, like, the early three names to know. And I know the NFL has some pretty decently high grades on him in the preseason right now. So completely different players. The Kiwan's more of like an explosive, long speed type of back. Ahmad Hardy's kind of your low center of gravity, physical, works through tackles. And then Jaden Ball is kind of like he's like a Le'Veon Bell type in terms of being like 6'1", 230 pounds, really patient. So very different backs. You could sell me on any three of them being the top back in next year's class right now, but I do think that all three will have a potential to at least be top 50 picks, but I wouldn't be shocked if one to two of them end up being first rounders next April.
All right, Ryan, great stuff. Make sure you guys follow him on Twitter at Rise and Draft. He covers the NFL draft and college football over at A to Z Sports. As always, my man, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great day.
Yeah, there he goes. Ryan Roberts joining us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. When we come back, yesterday, really big day for the Buckeye basketball program, getting LJ Smith into the 2026 mix instead of 2027. You'll hear from Coach Diebler about that. Get next. It's Rothman and Ice. Right, PN will join us to talk about Brendan Sorsby and a lot more. It's Rothman and Ice right here on the.com.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony's tennis shorts were so tight, they had to pixelate his crotch. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Bobby Carpenter in the building today. Going to light up right now the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Vegas Hotline and bring on everybody's favorite, the one and only Ian Fitzsimmons. Fitzy, welcome to the party, my man. How we doing?
Today was a great day of the summer, because what showed up on my doorstep was the college football Bible.
Man, oh yeah,
yeah,
it's there. Almost gets me a little teary-eyed. Uh-huh. Phil Steele's college football 2026.
Let me ask you this, Fitzy, because I'm completely with you on this. It's one of the better days of the summer. What is the first thing you jump to when you get Phil Steele's magazine? Where do you go first?
Great question. Surprise teams every year.
Okay.
And it was weak this year, man. It's like Liberty and Air Force. No offense to Liberty or Air Force, right? But I always like to see that, you know, like he had Miami 2 years ago. You know, he had, Florida State the year they went to the ACC championship game and won it with a backup quarterback. He had SMU 2 years ago when they were one play away from winning the ACC title, right? So, That's the first thing every time. And then I go to best offensive lines, best defensive lines, mm-hmm. and then I get to quarterbacks.
Okay, so since you're there, because we look, trench play is never the sexiest thing to talk about, but go to the offensive line in that section and tell me what's jumping out to you amongst, like, are you seeing Texas? Are you seeing Ohio State? Are you seeing Clemson?
Hang on. Here we go. Let's see here. Hold on.
Some of the top.
I literally just got this bad boy.
I love this because I just, that's the foundation, right? More times than not of good football teams, but some of the teams, Fitzy, that could be in the mix for winning a natty this year. I'm curious where some of those are.
I got it. You ready?
What do you got?
O-line. I'll just go top 10. All right. Virginia comes in at number 10, ahead of Michigan, by the way, 11. Army at 9. Oregon, then Georgia, Missouri, USC, Tennessee, Indiana, go Bucks, Notre Dame.
Okay, so the top three is Notre Dame, Indiana, Ohio State.
Correct.
Okay.
We'll pay attention. There's a quiz later.
Thank you. Well, go ahead, Bobby.
That's good. No, I enjoy that, Ian. You
want D-line also? I got D-line here, too, if you want that,
yeah,
Bob.
Let's see the D-line. Well, I mean, honestly, where are the games won, Ian? Right there. So let's see what they got. Right.
Hell yes. We got Indiana coming in at number 10, followed up by Georgia, Ole Miss at 8, Michigan, the Canes, Notre Dame, Texas, Oklahoma, Oregon, and number one?
Ohio State. Okay.
There's
interesting.
I mean, they lost a lot. That's interesting. They put them up at number one, and obviously with the addition of some transfer portal help from via Central Florida and Alabama, that helps a lot. Ian, you mentioned Clemson in there. You were talking a little earlier about them, and you know, just where are you at on Clemson right now with the state of their program coming off last season, having 8 players drafted, but fairly disappointing by their standards after what
they were soft, Bobby. Okay. Yeah, they were soft. I'll say it. I mean, I've got Clemson LSU right out the gate, man. I mean, night game, Death Valley, let's go. Is it Vecina is going to be quarterback? I have no idea. I mean, but they got to get, and one thing I will say in Dabo's defense is that I don't think Garrett Riley, and I like Garrett a lot. He's now the quarterback coach of Missouri. For people who don't know, he was the OC the last few years at Clemson. I don't think he used Cade Klubnik the correct way. I don't think he used Will Shipley the correct way. You know, if you don't run Will Shipley between the tackles, get him out in space, man. So you move on from Garrett, and you go with a familiar face in Chad Morse, who was the offensive coordinator there before going to SMU as a head coach. Is that just being familiar, or is that, hey, this is a guy we have when we had it rolling. Let's get back to what we did and do less better. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And dial back a bit. So I'm fascinated to see it week one in Baton Rouge. But to answer your question, man, I don't know who the quarterback is. They got a ton to replace on both the offensive and defensive fronts. At least he's now going into the portal, dipping his toes into it. I'm as fascinated as you are, Bobby, to see what the hell Clemson's got.
Our guy Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN joining us here on The Fan. So Fitzy, Texas Tech ends the season. You look at the final AP poll, they're 7th there. They're going into the offseason with some good momentum. They're going to bring in Brendan Sorsby and spend some money elsewhere to really try to level up and get to the top of the mound. And then now here we are having to slam the brakes on this entire Brendan Sorsby experiment. And so now that he is no longer going to be playing quarterback for them, he's going on to the NFL. When you look at Tech and where they are at the 20 and looking at their 2026 outlook, Fitzy, how are you feeling about them now moving forward in the Big 12, in the college football playoff and all that stuff?
Well, they're still going to be a damn good football team because Will Hammond is a pretty good quarterback. People forget that. Now, he tore that ACL later in the year, so they're expecting him to be ready for week one, but he won't be taking a lot of reps. And that's why you want depth in that quarterback room. That's why you want depth in any damn room. But the whole thing just spiraled out of control, man. I mean, it was, it's in black and white. You bet on the game, you're gone. I mean, it's like walking into any Major League Baseball clubhouse in spring training to the World Series. Gamble and you're gone. And Texas Tech was just going, nope, Not us. Now, we got all this money. Y'all know, you know about Cody Campbell and you know, the Matador Club and everything else, and, you know, his Double Eagle oil company, which he is a legit billionaire several times over. He basically just, they almost have the attitude of, we've gone from this lovable team in West Texas, and when they're really good, they're so much fun to watch. They're a blast, and they're lovable. Now they're the most hated team in college football. I mean, they're more despised than Alabama was in Saban's heyday. I mean, it's unbelievable how quickly that turned. And not just amongst fans in the Big 12, but the entire country was like, you can't wager on a sport that you play or on a team that you play for, even if you bet on them to win. See Pete Rose. You just can't do it. You don't do it. So he's going into supplemental. I think somebody will put a bid in for him. I don't think it's going to be a first-round pick because next year's class, again, on potential, because this last one was supposed to be pretty damn good also, and it wasn't. But somebody's going to put in a second-rounder for him or a third, and he will, he'll be in the NFL next year. And, oh, by the way, the judge says that he could face irreparable harm if he wasn't allowed to play college ball. Well, they let him keep the $5 million, and he's going to the NFL. How in the hell is that irreparable harm?
It's a very interesting thing, although I don't feel – when people talk about him keeping the money, I'm like, Texas Tech, and I've talked about this, I don't think Cody Campbell got to be where he is at his station in life by not researching things and understanding the details and tying up loose ends. And so they, I feel like they knew what they were getting into when they brought him in, and they were hoping they could tread water. Because you got to think, 6 months from now, it's really a moot point.
Bobby, the damn field's named after him. You know, and he was people probably don't remember this. He was in Mike Leach's first recruiting class. He was an All-American offensive lineman. Goes to the Colts, and I think it was a neck or back injury that ended his career after 1 year. But he was a damn good player, man. I mean, a really good player. And he and one of his buddies, they went to the mascots. The high school mascot is the Eagle. So there was two of them. They called it Double Eagle Club. And they struck oil several times over, and they are both literally billionaires several times over. And they truly believe that they could run the Big 12, and they got shown you can't in a hurry.
Yeah, crazy. Fitzy, we were talking earlier about some of the teams that could get in the mix, and I'm curious your thoughts on maybe the Jets, because the Jets, as you know, they've got 3 ones in next year's class. Do you think they should be tempted at all to come off of one of those to maybe grab Sorsby and have him learn a little bit behind Geno Smith for a year?
If they had not taken Cade Klubnik in the fourth round, who they really like, then my answer would be absolutely you should. You know, but they do have Cade on the roster. They do like him a lot. We talked about how he was misused at Clemson the last couple of years. So if they didn't have him, I'd say yes, absolutely. But think about it. You got Will Howard and Drew Aller, and I'm not a Drew Aller guy, in Pittsburgh. Are they going to take a flyer on Sorsby? I don't think so, right? Yeah. Along with Mason Rudolph, But anyway, I mean.
What about the Browns?
The Browns aren't going to take one. Go back and listen to Todd Monken's comments from, June 1st, I think. It was during the Browns golf tournament. He's like, no, I like our room right now. And basically, I'm paraphrasing, how would you trust a guy? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you can't make light of wagering on the sport that you play. And not like he did it like one or two times. I mean, what was it, $90,000? I mean, damn, man, that's insane. So that's the other aspect. If you don't think that these GMs and every front office are going to do unbelievable due diligence because they can work him out, you get in, go take a physical, and then you can do team interviews and whatnot. But having said all of that, somebody's going to take a flyer on him, you know, and – he's got the talent. He's every bit of 6'3", 230 pounds. He's more athletic than most people think. What, 28 touchdowns to 5 INTs? Completion percentage has to come up. But he can play, man. He can flat out play.
We'll get you out of here on this one. If you were a current player on the New York Knicks roster and James Dolan asked you to not have sex for 10 weeks, would you have done that?
Absolutely.
Whatever it takes to win a chip, huh?
I did that for free in high school. I mean, you're going to tell me I'm going to be an NBA champion if I abstain for 10 weeks? I've already I cashed that check, bro. I'll do it again for more money. Let's go.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Fitzy, you're the best, man. We appreciate your time, as always. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great rest of the week. See you, bro. Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN joining us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. We will hit the finish line of the show next with Tell the Truth. It's Rothman and Ice.
Morning Juice is now live on YouTube. Join Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Bedoff weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
Just search 971 The Fan to catch the live experience or watch on demand.
The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, take us to the crib, my man. What do you got cooked up and Tell the Truth today?
All right, let's start with the JT's Pizza and Pub Fan Poll. They are wondering, and this obviously is World Cup themed, are you okay with ties in sports, yes or no?
I mean, ties are a part of soccer, and so like they just have a scoring system for it. I mean, I guess.
I don't like them, Bobby.
I don't particularly like them either, but I guess I grew up playing soccer and like seeing it in the World Cup, and I mean, it's just what it is.
You tapped into the World Cup right now?
I've watched the U.S. stuff. Yeah. I haven't watched a ton of other things. Like I said, I'm trying to finish up some of these movies, the shows that I've got. But yeah. I'm going to probably watch some more. I'll look at some of the bigger games and see. I was watching some of the Spain game. Yeah, when they're...
Yesterday? You know,
Spain, yeah. Spain was tied, yeah.
I think they're down in Atlanta. I think that game was in Atlanta yesterday.
And they tied 1-1 against a country that's the size of Toledo.
And I saw
they have 600,000 people, which is what Toledo, the metro area, has.
I believe the goaltender in net for that country going into the game, Bobby, had like 100,000 followers on Instagram. I think he's got like 5 million this morning.
Of course.
Crazy. Unbelievable, man. But yeah, I'm pretty entertained by the World Cup. I cannot stand ties, though. TLC, like, I just need a result, win or lose, somebody like a tie. I can't stand it, man. Like, let's get a black and white clear cut result. So if we could find a way to do that, which I know we won't, but if we could find a way, that'd be a better sports world for me.
I used to be more angry about it than I am, but maybe I'm just caring less.
And it's also rare that we see them in football too, so it's like it's not a thing that pops up all the time. So I really don't have that big of an issue with it. But when it does happen, I find myself kind of like, felt like there's meat left on the bone.
All right, well, sticking with the football theme, would you say that you are in favor of the old adage, kick the extra point at home, go for two on the road, if you tie it up at the end of a game?
Ooh. I'd like to go. If you've been playing good offense,
keep going. Go for two.
That's what my dad happened to him one time in high school. He goes, never again. He goes, if we score at the end and there's less than a minute to go, we're going for it. We're going to win.
That makes sense to me.
Because if you can't get a yard, Cole, you don't deserve to win.
You and I have always subscribed to that. AR can't stand that.
No. Not all yards are created equal.
It's like, if you can't get one, you don't deserve to be the winner.
It's like
that's
two
how I look at it.
Extra. It's like two in all fairness, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll lean go for two, TLC.
I think, and obviously this is for us to think as viewers and not necessarily the people actually involved in the game, but the better team should want to extend the game as long as possible.
Oh, yeah.
Sample size.
Because eventually you'll break through.
The more that this is basic math. The more that you increase the sample size, the more opportunities you allow the truth to reveal itself.
Yep.
And so, now, I mean, you know, both coaches on both sidelines think they're the better team.
I don't know about that. There's times you go in, like, they're more talented than us. Oh, yeah, you watch how teams play and what they choose to do, and it's like they have greater depth than we do. Our pathway to victory is much more narrow than theirs.
So what you're saying is when we hear players and coaches throughout a week tell us how confident they are, that's usually not always the truth.
Yeah, they may believe they can win, but
that,
they have
that
a more...
deep into a game, though?
Yeah, but you have a specific prescription. Like,
hey, we don't want to see overtime.
We're holding this. Oh, no, you can feel like sometimes, especially like on defense, the dam's about to break. Or like, we've gotten lucky. We've thrown all of our best stuff at them on offense. They're starting to figure this thing out. And we don't have anybody that can just go beat a guy and do what we need to do. Oh, there's 100% that in the games.
Amazing. Well, he's not here, but I guess in the spirit of
Boing,
keeping him alive, he'll be here tomorrow.
He's my favorite player now. Because he's exactly like me.
That's so great.
I plan on starting Curb Your Enthusiasm sometime this week. Have either of you two watched that show?
I've seen it. I'm aware of it. I've watched clips. I've watched an episode here or there. I like it. I don't know if I can take that on my plate
right now. How many seasons did they get to?
There's a lot, I think.
It's looking like 9, 10, 11-ish.
Yeah. I'm starting to come up with a rule to where if I'm going to go back and watch a show, if it's beyond 5 seasons...
You're talking months then of work.
That's bringing me some pause to go back and watch that. So I've heard amazing things about it. I have not watched it.
It's funny.
I haven't even chipped away at Love Island yet. I want to do that. And so I can't. I can't start a whole new series. I don't know, Bobby. If you're in on that
I've
at all,
I've never even seen it. What is it on?
It's on Peacock.
Okay,
Bobby. It's just the volume per week that you get. It's like
4 episodes.
Yeah,
a week.
Is this a reality show?
Yeah.
Can't. I'm sworn off reality shows.
So I'm trying to work my way through all this. Another show I watch called Summer House with the drama there have going on, and that'll end tonight. And so I need a clean starting point to get to Love Island, but I know that is a full commitment every single week. But I'll get the curb eventually, but I don't think it'll be the summer.
Tell the truth. How many Mark Sanchez torso shanks do you think you could take before you would submit for the watch?
One.
One?
The threat of one.
Yeah, getting stabbed.
If I see a shank...
sprinting away like Rasheed Rice,
I guess.
What if they get you? Why you're in a? It's you or them. You or him. You or
do I have another knife?
No.
So I'm just defenseless.
You can get their knife from them.
I don't think I'm making it out. I don't know what.
Come on, man. I have greater respect for you guys.
What do you want me to grab the guy's forearm and break his arm or
something? Sometimes you got to take. Sometimes you got to take a knife, take a stab to get the knife from him.
Bobby, I'm dying.
Pull it out of yourself.
Yes. You shake me now. Oh, boom. I'm grabbing both your hands.
The old
we're gonna beat
call
it out
an ambulance,
here.
But not for me meme.
This is how I know Bobby's been watching too much of The Boys. Coming up with scenarios like this and thinking that they're realistic at all. Because anybody that gets shanked, you're falling to your knees.
I don't know about that. I mean,
you think adrenaline would take over
Yeah, especially if you're on some liquid courage there as well.
Okay.
You got some other stuff that might be flowing through your veins. Some of that
Compound V.
Compound V. Mark Sanchez made of his own Compound V. Little. He took three of them, dude. I was reading off his stuff. I didn't tell you why he couldn't fly. He's like, amigo. He's, hey, I don't know if you know. And I'm like, well, I do know. I didn't know the extent. So I got one punctured lung, one collapsed lung out of some sort of thoracotomy to probably drain blood from the center of his torso. I mean... So I don't think I'm supposed to be flying. I'm like,
that makes sense.
Get that.
They're going to put pressure on Carolina. Excuse me.
What's the furthest? What's the first distance? Furthest distance you'd be willing to walk to work every day? Distance in minutes.
Do I live in California or do I live in
Ohio? Ohio, and we'll call it summertime. We'll say the weather that we get this week.
Oh, yeah. Today's week been good. Now, it was humid as heck last week. I have to walk every day. I don't like walking anywhere. I'll run here. Just get here.
I'll run here.
I don't walk and play golf. I told people, I don't want to walk and play golf.
I agree.
I'll hit it. I'll race you to the ball.
Yeah.
If you want to work out, we'll go work out. If not, I'm going to have some drinks, play some music, and relax and sit in this cart.
Uh-huh.
I would say 10 minutes is about a half-mile walk at a decent pace.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a level 4 on the treadmill. Mm-hmm. So I would. That's about good.
Okay. I was thinking 3 miles max.
Three miles to
walk to work. That's it. Like I'm not. And that's a grip. That's going to take me about an hour.
No, level 15 is about a 15-minute mile.
Okay.
Or level 4.
It's about
4 miles an hour. So that's about a 45-minute walk.
Yeah. So 3 miles. 3 miles. Ooh. I'd be willing to do.
Oh, what a mess the fan is.
He'll be back tomorrow, as TLC said. Bobby, appreciate you filling in. TLC, good to see you again. Great job on the board. Folks, thanks so much for your time. We love you. Stay safe out there. We will talk to you tomorrow at high noon. We're Rothman and Ice. Right